Hackers got into the global banking system not once, but at least twice now, and this has the authorities deeply worried. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. There are details today of a second cyber attack on the global banking system, what should have been one of the most secure computer networks in the world. It involves SWIFT, the system that banks use to communicate with each other. The BBC's business reporter Tony Bonsignore is following developments from London.
So SWIFT is this payments messaging service, absolutely vital to the global financial system. It's where banks tell each other what payments should be made between each other. I mean, there's 1,100 banks around the world part of this. We know from SWIFT that a commercial bank has been attacked. It's been described as possibly involving malicious insiders, possibly involving a cyber attack, possibly a combination of both.
We don't know where any money went, and we don't know who's doing this.
Everybody, including here at the BBC, scrambling to find out what that is. But clearly just this news of another attack, perhaps on the scale of the Bangladesh.
So the SWIFT system is briefing its stakeholders. Separately, BAE Systems, which is a defense contractor, does a lot of cybersecurity work, is now reportedly linking the Bangladesh Central Bank attack to the Sony Pictures attack that caused such a kerfuffle in 2014.
It's already put out a blog today, Friday, saying that it thinks that it was linked potentially to Bangladesh and linking also, as you say, to this extraordinary attack on Sony, which, of course, we all talked about for a long, long time. Of course, it's making banks very nervous. It was very interesting that just yesterday here in the UK, UK newspaper, the Financial Times, reporting that the European Central Bank is now piloting a new system where Eurozone banks have to immediately, in real time, report any evidence of any sort of cyber attacks. And they say that when they spoke to the bosses of the biggest banks in Europe, they say that the one biggest thing keeping them awake at night is the thought of a cyber attack. And one would imagine this is not going to help their night's sleep at all.
Indeed. The BBC's Tony Bonsignore in London. Thank you for this.
Thanks, David.
Let's check the numbers. The 100 share index in London is down 0.5%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down between 3 and 0.4%. In the U.S., some low-income workers could find themselves waiting longer next year to get money from the IRS. This involves the Earned Income Tax Credit and the Child Tax Credit, Marketplace's Annie Baxter reports.
John Wanchek is a senior advisor on the Earned Income Tax Credit for the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, and he says the tax credit is a big deal for low and moderate income workers, especially those with kids.
It could be a few thousand dollars coming into them.
Under the new law, the IRS would have to wait until February 15th to send refunds for those claiming the Earned Income Tax Credit and Child Tax Credit. Wanchek says by that time this year, about 8 million Earned Income Tax Credit recipients already had their refunds. Diane Whitmore-Schanzenbach is a social policy expert at Northwestern University. She says delaying refunds next year will cause hardship for families.
You know, it's basically forcing them to float this money back to the government for an extra month.
She says families getting the Earned Income Tax Credit tend to use their refunds quickly on things like car repairs or paying down debt.
Maybe they're in arrears with their landlord, and so they've struck deals and said, okay, as soon as this comes in, I'll give it to you.
Schanzenbach hopes recipients of those tax credits have time to plan for the delays coming next year. I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
Hi, I'm David Brancaccio. Thank you for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. A lot happens while you sleep, so each morning we bring you the latest numbers on markets, money, jobs, and innovation, plus the context I think we all need to make the smartest decisions. We'd like you to help us keep our numbers strong by making a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace. And this month, your gift in any amount will be automatically doubled thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from Newman's Own Foundation. Donate today at marketplace.org. 40 countries sent representatives to yesterday's summit in London to fight corruption. The countries, including the U.S., have now signed a pledge to expose corruption wherever it's found and to end the misuse of anonymous companies to hide money. The U.K. is taking the lead by forcing people to declare the human beings who are behind shell companies as we move forward. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell has been looking into some spots in the United States where money can hide. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
So they met in London. There were about 300 economists who signed an open letter urging world leaders to crack down on, for instance, tax havens, lift the veil of secrecy, they wrote. But you see a larger problem, really.
I see a much bigger problem. I mean, look, corruption is bad. But what really bothers me, David, and particularly in the environment we're in, the economy that we're in, is the ultra wealthy legally hiding their assets. Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
What is the most valuable address if you're a billionaire in the world?
Real estate, I'm going to say New York City.
How about Sioux Falls, South Dakota? I mean, wealth is pouring into the state, which is, you know, best known for what? Mount Rushmore. But South Dakota trust laws really allow families to shelter a lot of income. They have very strict privacy laws, don't have income tax. And according to the Financial Times, assets held in South Dakota trusts in 2006, $33 billion about. 2014, $226 billion.
Wait, so let me stop traffic here for a second.
Exactly.
So if you're worried about hiding assets, you're worried about tax havens, the laws in, for instance, South Dakota are written in a way that things are a little less than transparent?
A little less than transparent. It's a beautiful thing if you're a billionaire. Wyoming's also good. Nevada, terrific. And, you know, David, there are these organizations that kind of look around the world, and they've rated the U.S., and the U.S. is ranked number 3. Bermuda is 34th.
Wow, number 3. So that's an honor of sorts, I guess. How might reform attack the problem?
This is why major tax reform is important. Now, that's easy to say. That is hard to do. And you have this army of lobbyists who are going to be opposed to any change. But if you want to restore trust in the U.S. system, everybody has to pay their fair share.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell in St. Paul, thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
Our senior producer here is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Wynn. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech, our sibling program. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.